Lord, let your blessing be upon this word, that it would truly be anointed and anointed to our hearts, that we would grow through just getting your word into our heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I remember when I was a kid, we used to have something that everybody knew as the lazy days of summer. Did you ever hear that term? And once school was out, there was nothing much to do. I mean, you had to invent things to do. And, you know, we would go exploring in the woods. We'd get, you know, like the stick and tie the little thing on like the hobos did, you know, and put our lunch in there and stuff like that. We'd go catch pollywogs at the creek. We'd go on miles-long bike rides. We'd drive out to Gros Isle and Rockwood. We'd gather kids from the neighborhood and get a baseball game together, sometimes even football, even in the middle of summer. We'd go play knock hockey at the, you know, the park programs. And if you were really lucky, maybe you got someone to take you to Camp Dearborn, you know. But you had to know somebody from Dearborn in those days. That's the only way you could get in. We didn't have any computers. There was no cell phones. There were no video games. There was four channels on TV. That was it. So it's strange to think how things were not that long ago. In fact, in the early 50s, TVs were just coming into vogue. You know, like people were just getting them in their homes. I remember the first TV we had, this giant box with this little tiny screen in the early 50s, mid-50s. And even then, cars had only been around for about 50 years. You know, mass-produced anyway. So it was a different kind of life. It really was. It was a different kind of lifestyle. People had time to relax, time to sit around, time to talk, time to explore, and just, you know, be able to enjoy life more. And life used to be considered more of a journey than, you know, whereas now it's more like a race to the finish. Everybody seems to be always racing, always too much to do, can't get it, don't have enough time. It's no longer like Little House on the Prairie. Now it's more like a Big House on the Freeway. And, you know, and there's just too much stuff to take care of. And we all have our to-do lists, and they never get smaller. How is that? We check off one thing, and two more get added on. And, you know, it just seems like the whole world is sort of bent on keeping us moving and filling our ears with sound and our eyes with sights to sort of fill us with all these desires, the desires of our flesh that, you know, and it puts us in a sort of a constant state of restlessness, of wanting and never having enough. And, you know, we're always, you know, I need this and I want that and I wish I could do this, I wish I could go there. We're never satisfied, quite satisfied. And even if we finished all of our jobs and we emptied all of our calendars and we got rid of all the external things, we still have this up here, the sort of a traffic, you know, jam in of our thought life, you know, going on up in our mind. And, you know, we're always worrying about what's coming up or, you know, what do we got to do? And yet in the midst of all this clutter, all this chaos, all this confusion and congestion, there's something that is there. And it's a still small voice that speaks to us. It calls out to us and it says, "Be still and know that I am God." You know, God put a desire in our heart for Him. Whether we acknowledge that desire, whether we have been quieted enough to hear it, God put an emptiness in there. He put all these things that I was saying, all this desire for all this stuff is trying to fill this empty spot that God put in us on purpose so that we would search for Him. Be still and know that I am God. Psalm 46:10 or Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all you who are weary. You ever get weary? You ever feel that like, man, I just got so much to do. I just don't know how I'm going to get all this done. I just need some time. Come to me, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest. So today what I want to do is I want to look at the importance of slowing down and relaxing in God, getting still before God. If we want to get closer to God, we have to make ourselves slow down sometimes. We have to get off that treadmill of life, that fast track, and actually say, you know what? I'm going to slow down. I'm going to take a break and go and spend some time with God. It doesn't just happen. We have to make it happen. We live in such a fast-paced world that a lot of times we don't take the time to enjoy the things that God wants us to enjoy. Chief of all, being in His presence. And God wants us to learn how to do that. And we all know that our natural bodies need rest, right? I mean, you guys, most of you sleep, right, occasionally? Sometimes we get home from working, sometimes after we eat, sometimes after working hard, you want to sit back and relax and rest. And that's good. You know, God easily could have made our bodies so we never need rest, so we never need sleep. And He could have made the sun shine 24 hours a day. Could have made it shine 28 days, hours a day and made a longer day. But He didn't. In fact, He tells us in His Word that He Himself rested on the seventh day. Now, do you think God was tired? No. He wasn't tired. He was teaching us a principle that there is a time for rest. There's a time for working, like Martha. If you remember the story of Mary and Martha, and I'll get back to that in a few minutes. And there's a time for resting, you know, like for Mary. Our bodies were designed to need rest, to need to relax, to be quiet, to get refreshed. We need times of refreshing. And the same principle holds true in the spiritual realm. That's why Jesus was always going off. Remember, when He was here on this earth, He would always go off to spend time with His Father. He wasn't out on the trail, out, you know, speaking to the crowds and working 24 hours a day. He slept at night, and in the day, he slept in the boat, remember? He would go out, and He would go find some place alone and get together with His Father to pray and to rest in Him. Moses, David, Daniel, Isaiah, Paul, all these men that we saw in the Bible, they were known to spend time with God. Get together with Him in prayer and sometimes relaxing with God. The Apostle John had his greatest revelation on the Isle of Patmos. It said when he was alone with God that day. If we as Christians want to get closer to God, we have to learn how to relax and get into His presence, relax with God. I don't mean just get the remote out, sit back in our easy chair, watch TV, and then say, hey, God, how's it going? It's actually time set aside for God. Think of how your body would respond with no rest, with no sleep, with no relaxing. We would get worn out. We would get tired. We would get sick. You know, I can miss a night. Sometimes I miss a night of sleep. I don't sleep a whole lot. And then every once in a while, I just don't get to sleep at all for some reason. And I can handle one night. But two nights, I'm a mess. And I don't know how. I mean, when I was a kid, I could probably go two nights. But it'd take me the third night to get to be a mess. But now, after 2 days, you know, I mean, I end up maybe catching a cold or something because my body is just beat up. It's worn out. And, I mean, you think about how it would be if you had days without sleeping. I mean, you get disoriented. You get sick. You start to hallucinate and see things. I mean, you do, really. That's what happens. You become useless. You become like the walking dead, you know, walking around. Yeah? And the same thing can happen in the spiritual realm. We pretty much become useless to God if we never spend any time with Him, if we never get to know Him, if we never, you know, have any relationship with God. Then we get to that point where Jesus said, And, you know, they were saying, well, I did this and I did that. He said, I never knew you. I never got to know you. You never came and saw me. You just said things and did things in my name, but you never came over and saw me. You never visited me. If we want to be useful and productive and blessed, we need to learn how to enter into that place, that secret place, our own place of quiet and rest, wherever yours is. I know some people literally have a closet. Some people, you know, like to just, I like to stay up late at night and it's all quiet in my house. It's a perfect time for me. And, you know, sometimes people just have a certain room they go to a certain time in the morning. Maybe they sit on the couch and have a cup of coffee and put on worship music and just start spending time with God. However you find a way, maybe you got a long drive to work, half an hour, 40 minutes, and the whole time there you're talking with God. I've had great talks with God on long drives across the country. As we learn to bust through all the distractions and all the clutter and the illusions and the million and one things that get in our way, we finally get to that place where we begin to build that relationship with God. You remember the story I mentioned earlier about Martha and Mary? It's in the book of Luke, chapter 10. I'm just going to read one verse there, and in verse or two verses, actually, 41 and 42. But to set it up, Martha, if you remember, was all excited that Jesus was there at the house. And so she was running around trying to fix this and clean that and probably get some food ready, probably vacuuming, probably doing whatever she could do, if she had a vacuum. You know, and then not only was she doing it, but then she wanted Mary to come and help her. In fact, she even went to Jesus and said, Jesus, tell Mary to come and help me. We got to get this place cleaned up. And Jesus is in there talking to Mary and sharing his heart with her. And she said, Jesus, tell her, come on. We got to get this place cleaned up. You're here. Jesus thinking, I'm here. I don't care if your house is dirty. And so his answer to Martha, and I love this answer, Martha, he loved her. He loved her. He wasn't condemning her. He's probably just giving her that little dig, you know. And Martha, you are worried and upset about many things. But few things are needed, or indeed, only one. And Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her. Think about that. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her. Jesus knew that this was a special time for Mary. Mary came and sat at his feet. She wanted to hear everything Jesus had to say. She didn't want to miss a word. She didn't want to waste her time in the kitchen. She didn't want to waste her time, you know, running around the house and cleaning while Jesus was there. And then next thing you know, he had to leave. This was my time. That's what she's thinking. I don't want to get caught up. I don't want to answer the phone. I don't want to read the news. I don't want to, you know, get on the computer. I don't want to do those things. I want to spend time with Jesus. And just like the world, Martha sort of represented the world in a way. Come on, come on, come on. You got to do this. You got to do that. Jesus said, no, 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 she doesn't. Only in the stillness, in the quiet, in the relaxing can we get to know God. This is where we break through that surface relationship. This is where we finally get to that place of intimacy with God that I think every one of us wants. I think we all want to know God better. We all want to know how God feels about us, what He thinks, what He wants us to know. We all want to be blessed by God. We all want to have, you know, a close relationship with God. But you know what? It takes work. It does. It takes work because we have to pretty much beat this flesh up to get it to shut up, to get it to slow down, to not be distracted by all the things that have to be done. There's always something that has to be done, isn't there? Do any of you not have any projects at home or no work that has to be done? Is there anybody here has nothing in the world that has to be done? Absolutely not. Because if you answered yes, I'd say, come over to my house. I got stuff for you to do. This is how we begin to get peace in our life. The peace that we hear about that transcends all understanding. He's the Prince of Peace. Jesus is known as the Prince of Peace. This is how we get to know the love of God. His personal love for us. A love that knows no ends. That will never fail us. But if we don't get close to Him, how can we ever really know God's love in our life? How will your child ever know that you love them if you've never spent any time with them? This is where He will sometimes bring us to tears as we sense His presence, as we sense His power, as we sense His love. I can be with somebody, meeting with somebody, just any kind of situation, and all of a sudden God just somehow shows me His love for that person. Maybe I'm just talking to them, sharing something with them. Maybe we're doing a little study or counseling or who knows what. And all of a sudden I get this sense through me about how much God loves this person, and I start crying. I can't help it. Because God's love is overwhelming. And the only way we're ever going to get hold of that love is to be with Him on an intimate basis. How can you love your wife or your husband if one lives in California and one lives in New York? How can you build a relationship if you've never met or you've never spent time together? This is where the joy of the Lord enters our heart. You know, Jesus was full of joy in the Holy Spirit. God's not a sad God. He's not moping around and feeling that all is lost. God is a God of joy. And when we get near to Him, we will be infected with His joy. Whenever we touch God, we always gain something. It's like I always say, anytime we do something for the love of God, it's never a lost work. It's never a lost attempt. No matter how people receive it or not, it doesn't matter. Something good was done. And it blessed God. That alone is enough. And any time we spend time with God, you can't be in His presence and not gain something. Whether it's His love or His joy or His peace or we're comforted or whether we're healed physically, spiritually, emotionally, it doesn't matter. We gain confidence. We gain courage. We gain strength. Like, remember Paul said, in my weakness, I go to Him and I speak to Him. I tell Him, God, I can't do this. And then He begins to, you know, pour His strength to us. In Isaiah 30:15, it says, in quietness and trust, as we get in that quiet place and we trust God, is your strength. When we rest in God's presence, and we open up ourselves and we say, God, I'm just so weak. I'm really struggling in this area. I'm having a hard time. I can't overcome this thing that is hitting me. And God begins to fill us then with strength, with courage, with strategies, with knowledge, with wisdom. It's like plugging in one of our electrical devices, our cell phone or something, and we get energized. We get our batteries charged back up. And when we find ourselves, when we're drained, physically, emotionally, spiritually, we feel tired and worn out and discouraged and maybe even depressed. Sometimes we feel like we have no value, we have no place, we have no, you know, real future with whoever or whatever. And we need to get recharged. And God will bring us back. He'll bring us right back up to 100%. The little green bar goes all the way across. It's no longer. Did you ever pick up your phone and you go, oh my gosh, it's 1%. Hope I can make it to the charger before it dies. Well, when we get with God and we spend the time, we look at our bar and it's 100%. And that charging strength, it doesn't just come from anywhere. It has to come from God. We're talking about spiritually being spiritually recharged. Getting alone with Him and getting still before Him is how we make it happen. That's where the strength comes from. So when we communicate with God and we communicate with anyone, it has to do with both talking and listening. We all talk to God, I mean, all the time. We're always praying to God. We're always saying, oh, God, bless our food. God, do this. God, do that. But we have to have a place where we can go to listen, too. It's not a one-way kind of relationship. It shouldn't be. You know, getting still before God is how we begin to get to know Him. It's how we begin to learn His heart. And even as we hear God's heart, then He gives us a chance then to pour out our heart to Him. Because often when we're speaking, with other people, with anybody, sometimes we have a hard time sharing our heart, don't we? You ever notice how you're trying to tell somebody really something that you feel is really important and you really want to get, and you get all tongue-tied? You just don't quite know how to say it? But God, we don't have to say it just right, because God knows us by our heart. He knows what we're feeling. He reads our heart more than our lips. Our lips are important too. What we say is important, but God knows what we're trying to get out. Romans 8:26 sort of explains this a little bit, because, you know, like I said, God is not only, He's listening to our heart even as we're led by the Holy Spirit. And that's what this scripture talks about. It says in Romans 8:26, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans, or words without meaning. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. So, you know, what that's telling us is He meets us spirit to spirit. He gets what's inside of us. The Holy Spirit will help us and express our love, our need, our loneliness, our fear, our desire, our hunger for God, whatever it might be. And during those times, it's almost like we've been transported right up into the Holy of Holies. Take me into the Holy Holies. Take me in by the blood of the Lamb. That song, we sing it. That's a special place, the Holy of Holies. And that's just being in God's presence. See, we can go there. We don't have to be like that high priest that had to have a robe and the bells and all the stuff going on and only could go in once a year. That curtain's been torn. We get to go into the Holy of Holies every day if we want, anytime we want. The walls are torn down. The curtain is torn, and God can now minister life to us. A lot of times we get a taste of that during worship right here. I've had people over the years, probably a thousand times, tell me, oh man, God really touched me in worship today. I hope so. You know, we have to get to that point where we can really let go and just worship God. But it's good that we can get some of that during worship, but we need to be at home also, or wherever we go, and have that kind of interaction with God. And if we all do that individually, and then we come here on Sunday, then it gets explosive. Another thing happens when we get to when we get alone with God is that we begin to see for ourselves who we really are in God. We begin to develop our convictions and we strengthen those things that are in us, our thoughts, our convictions, our understandings. We begin to solidify them and become a person who we know who we are, instead of just somebody who's just floating through space. Do you ever notice how, like, sometimes you'll just be doing something and maybe driving in the car or working or doing something, and you're getting all these ideas and all these thoughts, and you know, God was speaking today. But then a lot of times what happens is we forget. We can't even, what was I trying? You know, I had this really good thought today when I was coming home, but man, I can't remember what it was. Or the next day. I know yesterday I felt really close. You know, so because we didn't take the time to burn it in by spending time with God. And the thought just sort of fades away because it wasn't grounded. It wasn't built up in God. But when we spend time quietly reflecting before God, getting in His presence and reading His Word, meditating on His Word, just speaking to Him, trying to listen to Him, to hear His voice, to hear His thoughts, to hear Him sort of direct us. You know, He does that through His Word. He does it through His Holy Spirit. Sometimes He just does it straight out. I don't know how He's going to do it with you, but that's where our character is strengthened. That's where our foundation is solidified. I mean, so many people go through life never taking the time to determine what they even really believe. Oh, we might only just believe whatever comes at us that day. And then we sort of parrot it. We speak it right back out to somebody else. And, oh, is that what you believe? Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, you know, I don't know. I never really thought about it. We should think about what we believe. Because we're supposed to be the light to the world. We're supposed to be the ones that are sharing the truth and sharing life. And we have to be, we have to know what we have so we can share it with others. When we start looking at what we've come to believe and we judge it then in God's presence, He helps us determine what is good and what is not good. God will show us, you know, because our heart can be deceptive above all things, it says. So God, as we're in His presence, will begin to show us those things that we've picked up, the different voices that are speaking to our heart, and He'll show us, like, this one's good, and this one's not good. This one goes with my word, this one doesn't. Through His Holy Spirit and His Word, He will teach us like that. So He'll teach us, as 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, to demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought then and make it obedient to Christ. Now how do we do that if we never come to God? We can't. We have to get that strength. We have to get that conviction. We have to get that enlightenment, the Holy Spirit working in our life, the Word. All that comes from having that relationship with God. The world is filled with so many distractions. Way too many. And God knows us. He knows us intimately. And He knows exactly how those distractions affect us. Personally. Each one of us. You. And He made us. He knows how our mind works. We're not just all the same. We're not coming off an assembly line. He doesn't just have the same answer for everybody. I mean, He has His Word, which is truth, but each one of us has a different way to deal with our problems. And God will show us how to work through that. It says that when we're tempted, He will always show us a way out. But we got to listen. How are we going to find the way out if we don't even listen to Him? He wants us to come to Him, to talk, to get alone with Him, to spend some time. Matthew 6:6 says, when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. That's a good scripture. Matthew 6:6. Remember that one. Oh, I don't need to get alone with God. I'm fine. I do it here. I pray as I'm walking out the door to my car, whatever, you know. When you pray, go into your room, close the door. See what I'm saying? Getting some time with God. And I know none of us are perfect. I know I'm not. I'm not saying I got this down. It's what I work towards. And that's where none of us are perfect. This is our goal. This is the ideal. This is what we should be heading for. When you pray, go into your room, close the door, pray to your Father. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, and nobody else has to know about that, He'll reward you. He wants our complete attention. Remember God's purpose. He has a purpose for doing this. You know what it is? He loves you. He loves you. And He's not happy just seeing you from a distance, always saying, hey, bye. Hey, hi, how's it going? Bye. What kind of relationship is that when somebody walks at the door, says, hey, and walks right past you every time? Scripture even talks about rewarding us. God wants to reward us just for spending time with Him. Why? Because God is always looking for ways to bless His children. Did you know that? He never stops thinking about how He can impact your life for good, how He can bless you, how He can use you for His glory, for your purpose that will bring joy and satisfaction to you. We just can't get it. We always mess it up in our head. The only way we're ever going to be satisfied, the only way we're ever going to be fulfilled is to get to that place where we want to do what God wants us to do. All the other stuff is all fluff. Some of it's good, some of it's bad. But it's all fluff. It's all extra stuff. What did He tell? There's Mary, there's only one thing. There's very few things that I needed. Are needed only one indeed. Spending time with Him. The only really important, absolute necessity that we have in this whole earth, the whole time we live here, there's only one thing that is essential, and that is to know God. Not to have a pretty house. Not to have a shiny car. Not to have the best job. Not to have a great education. All those things are good. But they're not essential. There's only one essential thing. Knowing God. He wants to become our go-to person. The one we go to when we have a need. He wants us to get to the point where we're grown up. Where we're mature. He wants to wean us from the earth, from the things of this world, so we no longer need the world to sustain us or delight us. He delights us. Psalm 37, verse 4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. God knows that anything else besides Him that we put in, that we do, that we try to delight in, anything beside Him will eventually just disappoint us. He wants us to seek our happiness in Him, in His beauty, in His perfection, in His love. If we're truly seeking happiness and fulfillment in God Himself, then the desires of our heart they'll only end up being the kind of things that God would give us. Because if God wouldn't give it to us, it won't be good for us. Every good gift comes down from our Father in heaven. There's a lot of stuff that God wants to give us. In fact, if we're truly delighting ourselves in God, what happens then is God Himself becomes our desire, the desire of our heart. And so we need to delight ourselves in His kingdom. And desire to advance it. And it will bring joy to our heart. We need to delight ourselves in His Word and desire to obey it. And then His Word will be like life to us. It will bring joy and peace to our heart. We need to delight ourselves in His purposes and His plans for the world and for us. And we need to desire to further them. Then we'll find satisfaction. We need to delight ourselves in Him, in His character, and then try to reflect His glory more and more make that our desire to become more like Him. We need to delight ourselves in His glory and exalt Him and honor Him and praise Him and worship Him. We need to delight ourselves in His presence and desire to be with Him as much as we can. God wants to give us the desires of our heart. But first, we have to make sure the desires of our heart are right. That they're right, that they're the right desires. We have to make sure our heart is right before God. And all of that will begin to happen when we start getting into God's presence and being still before Him. God wants us to know Him. He wants us to know all about Him. He wants us to draw near to Him. He doesn't want us to worry about our past. We've all got a past, every one of us. I don't care what you've done. I don't care if you slaughtered 1 million people. Hope nobody did. But you know what? If we've been forgiven, we've been made righteous by the blood of the Lamb. Doesn't matter what you did. It doesn't matter who you were. Doesn't matter how terrible you think you were. God has forgiven you. He wants us to come to His throne, to draw near to Him. He wants us to draw near to Him with our conscience sprinkled with the blood of the Lamb, with a clear conscience. Hebrews 10:22, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Don't ever run from God. We don't have to be like Adam and Eve who ran and hid because they had unforgiven sin. Our sin's been forgiven. Draw near to God. Spend that time with a sincere heart, with full assurance. Complete, full assurance that faith brings. In other words, believe this. Believe this is real. God's saying, this is the way it is. Your heart has been cleansed. Your guilty conscience has been dealt with. All your guilt, all your shame, it's all been paid for. All your sin has been wiped clean. So don't run from God. Run to God. Be still and know that He is God. Let's close in prayer. If I could have the prayer team come forward. Thank you, Lord God. Father, help us. Help us all, Lord God. Help us all, Lord God, to desire to spend more time with You. Lord, help us to break free from all the other distractions, to learn how to somehow bring ourselves to that quiet place where we relax with You. Lord, help us. Help us to do that on a regular basis. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen, Father. You know, I just say one more thing. Even if it takes, just start out and say, you know what, Lord, 3 minutes. 3 minutes tonight. That's all I need. And then maybe then a couple of nights later, you know, by then you're ready to say, well, 5 minutes. And then maybe 10. There's no rule, there's no regulations on how long it is. Once you get before God and you start enjoying it, you won't have to worry about the time. It'll just happen. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen, Father.